Welcome to another episode of the show. I feel good this week. We had the Super Bowl. Y'all ate your fries, I don't even know what y'all ate. Greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes. I hope y'all didn't have any COVID parties because COVID is on the rise and people are out here throwing Super Bowl parties. Speaking of that, I'm actually mad at Dante because he suggested that I was having a Super Bowl party. Don't try me. This is COVID season.
I can't wear my mask when I'm with you. Cause I got COVID. Cause I got COVID.
Sing it.
I can't wear my mask when I'm with you.
Some of y'all can't wear your mask anywhere, period. But anyway, we'll read people in a second. But thank you guys for being here for another episode. It means so much that y'all listen. If you are new to this show is all about bringing together different perspectives. We talk about music, pop culture, entertainment, politics, and it's always an interesting discussion every single time. We have uncomfortable conversations, but they're always important, and I feel like it opens people's minds. So whatever reason you choose to listen to this show, I appreciate it. Continue to listen, continue to subscribe, continue to listen in secret, because I know that Dante and I have secret fans that listen to the show, and I appreciate you guys because y'all are still listeners at the end of the day, so I respect it. So hopefully my goal this year is that y'all come out of the shadows, come on out, be a fan, embrace the show, love it publicly. And yeah, we love that. So speaking of loving the show, we have our Instagram that is linked in the description. So feel free to follow me, follow Dante, follow the podcast page, and feel free to interact with us. I appreciate all of you guys that ask us questions. Segway King, speaking of asking questions, if you click the link in the description of this episode, you'll see a link to ask us anonymous questions. So if you've always wanted to tell us something, if you wanted to ask a question for the show for us to cover, please feel free to do that. I love interacting with you guys and I love answering your questions. So time permitting, we'll always try and answer your questions. So we have that for you guys. Subscribe, follow on Spotify, get into the show. Dante, the man of the hour, how are you feeling this week?
You want to know how I'm feeling?
Yeah, how are you?
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
That's how I feel.
Mm.
The Fed's out here, bro.
I know. It's okay. I love secret fans. I love public and private fans. However way you want to listen to the show, listen to it. We have so much to cover this week. We have so much that we're not even going to do off my chest this week.
Sorry, Julia. You know, we love playing that beautiful rendition of Off My Chest that you gave us.
Justin and Dante gotta get it off their chest.
We have to forego it this week. Don't worry, I have a boulder to get off my chest next week.
Right. We have a lot. Like Dante said, we have a lot this week, so let's get into it. Normally, weeks aren't like this. Normally, we have slower weeks and there's not much to talk about. This week, that's not the case. So there's been stupidity. There's been some racism. It's been another week in America. Let's talk about it. So Dante, Morgan Wallen is a country singer. I've never heard of him. I heard of him for the first time when this controversy came out. If you guys don't know, there's a country singer named Morgan Wallen. He's young and up and coming. Apparently, he's a big deal in the country music scene. And apparently, he said the N-word. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, the 27-year-old singer has been suspended indefinitely from his record label and pulled from country radio after being caught on video using a racial slur.
Hey, take care of this pussy-ass motherfucker. Oh, fuck. Hey, Gracie, take care of this pussy-ass.
We talk about it on every episode. If you're not black, don't say it. Obviously, people feel differently about it, so he decided to use the N-word. It looks like he was drunkenly walking back to his house, and the backlash, surprisingly, has been swift.
CMT, Country Music Television, is also pulling the plug, tweeting, "We do not tolerate or condone words and actions that are in direct opposition to our core values that celebrate diversity, equity, and inclusion." The Country Music Association, who named Wallen their new artist of the year in November 2020, is also removing any digital content of Wallen from their platforms. The record labels who signed Wallen, Big Loud and Republic Records, suspended his recording contract indefinitely, saying such behavior will not be tolerated.
a lot of people aren't playing his music anymore. I'm surprised that country music is taking such a big stand on this issue. What did you think about everything that happened?
Like you said, right, I'm surprised that country music has taken a stand on this. A lot of times you wonder, like, does change really happen? Do things really change? You know, is something changing? And I got to imagine that if country music is standing up to one of their artists, you know, saying racist shit, that I guess we are on the doorsteps of change, mm-hmm. right? Because usually when a company does stuff like this, it's about how it affects their dollar. Country music don't market to black people in the first place. So if they're taking this stance on this, it's like, yeah, I guess some things are changing. What a way to kill your career, dude. And like, especially like if it's in country music and you decide to kill your career by saying the N-word, who would have thought? I guess 2021 is different, right? Like, who would have thought?
The thing is, you say kill his career, but I really don't think that his career is going to go anywhere, because this whole idea of somebody being quote unquote canceled is not a thing, especially when you're a country star or especially when you're white. You are held to a different standard. Like, I feel like certain people are actually canceled and other people are able to walk away, say their little apologies, and that's it. What annoyed me the most after this is that the NAACP reached out to him and they offered to have a conversation about use of the N-word with him. And I hate this idea because people know right and wrong. People know what not to say. What is there to educate him about? I don't understand this whole idea of coddling people that are racist or wanting to do kumbaya as if these people don't know any better. He decided to say it. Whatever consequences that come his way, that's what he deserves. I don't think that we should have seminars and talks about, oh, the N-word, you come on to the NAACP and we're going to sit you down and we're going to talk about race and racial slurs. What is that going to accomplish? I was talking to one of our listeners and we were having a good conversation, and he said this whole thing about the N-word is not an external thing, it's an internal thing. What is it inside this Morgan Wallen dude that compelled him to freely say the N-word? That's not something that needs to be solved externally, because everybody knows that the N-word is a racist slur that should never be said if you're not black. I just find it interesting how the coddling continues. Do you think it's necessary to have the seminar talks with him?
There's no way in 2021 that anybody's going to plead ignorance about the word and the impact that it has. So I'm not here for those conversations. I'm not here to talk about that or to be like, hey, man, I didn't know the impact that it had. I'm so sorry if I hurt anybody. I deeply apologize. I can grow from this and learn. But not here for none of that, man. Mm-hmm. You knew what you were saying. What I think is interesting is that, so apparently his parent label, like he's on a country label, but the label that owns his label is the same label that gospel singer, the black people that listen to this will know, named BB Winans, right? They had BB Winans reach out to him to talk to him about all this, and I'm like, if they would have called me to ask me to reach out to somebody about some shit like that, I'd be like, yeah, nah, why am I reaching out? This should be the other way around.
Yeah, shouldn't he be the one coming to the community and saying, I apologize, what can I do to learn from this? And the thing is, I hate when people apologize if they offended people. Obviously, what you said offended people, so just own up to it. I feel like that's such a cop-out apology. But anyway, in a statement to TMZ, he said, I'm embarrassed and sorry. I used an unacceptable and inappropriate racial slur that I wish I could take back. There are no excuses for this type of language ever. So interestingly, his sister took to social media and she came up with a whole diatribe. She said, end quote, cancel culture is the worst thing that has come out of our digital world. It leaves no room for forgiveness and growth. Someone who is truly sorry should be forgiven, not continuously bashed. And that's an interesting thing to say, because forgiveness and sympathy, it comes with you showing how you've changed. Then it's up to the community to say, okay, we accept your apology, let's move on. I don't think a white person should be telling a black person to get over it and just forgive this person. I don't think that's how it works.
I agree with you. That's not how it works. It's just so funny. Like, you cannot be the aggressor in a situation and tell people, hey, you got to get over it. It's like punching somebody in the mouth and being like, well, it's over now. I already punched you. Like, get over it. Let's move past it. That doesn't make any sense.
And what she said was even worse than what I read. She said, the world we live in thrives off of drama and bringing others down. I refuse to be a part of that. If my family or my friends make a mistake and apologize, I'm going to listen, accept it, accept them, and learn from their mistake. While our digital world connects us in a wonderful way, it also does the opposite. It gives many people a platform to spew hate at others, even those they don't know personally. It is easy to say something behind the safety of a screen. Anyone can do it, but those receiving the comments are people too. I know my brother, he is my best friend, and although what he said was completely unacceptable, I know in my heart that it did not come from a place of hate or malicious intent. Should he have said it? No. but should he be given the opportunity to correct his mistake and learn from it? Yes. Morgan has one of the biggest hearts of anyone I've ever seen or met. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. He will welcome you with open arms and show you kindness and say the N-word. He is not the kind of person who would ever want to hurt you, but contrary to popular belief, he's also human. And sometimes humans make big mistakes. She said a whole lot more, but I'm not going to read the rest of her message, but I don't know. I disagree with a lot of what she said. I feel like she's doing damage control for her brother, and she's using the dog whistle of cancel culture so people can have a reason to not hold somebody accountable for making a mistake. Cancel culture is its own problem. The thing is, I'm not going to not hold somebody accountable just because there's a larger issue of cancel culture. This is all isolated incidents, and we should all treat it that way. We can still hold him accountable for what he said and address cancel culture, you know, at another time. And now he's dealing with the consequences of that, and I feel like the consequences are fair.
Let me ask you something. So because he said this, right, do you think he's a racist?
Yes.
Because you said something about isolated incidents, right? So if somebody says it one time, does that make them a racist in the moment and forever?
If you hit your girlfriend, does that make you an abuser?
There's levels to this shit. That's not what I asked.
It's the same thing.
Physically committing domestic violence against your girlfriend is the same as saying the N-word?
It is. It's the same in the sense that it's a one-time thing. Somebody ushers a verbal attack, a racial slur at that, and somebody striking somebody.
Yeah, this is where we gotta agree to disagree, but I'm gonna listen to your argument on it.
Obviously, the two situations are different. Does somebody striking somebody make them an abuser? That's my question to you.
Yes.
Then the same applies to saying the N-word. Somebody saying the N-word, that makes them a racist. I don't know how you can see it any different.
Yeah, we can agree to that.
Well, what are you disagreeing about is my question. Like, how does that not make you a racist if you say the N-word?
We talk about it all the time about how, like, everything's not black and white and there's levels to this shit, right? So
if there's no levels.
You call, hold on. Yes, there is. There's levels to everything. So if you called a female a bitch, does that mean you were misogynistic the rest of your life?
People can change. People can change. You probably did that, but you wouldn't do that now.
Whoa.
You've changed. There's growth there.
Hey, you accusing me of dropping the B-bomb. What are you doing, sir? I have nothing but the utmost respect for the female delegation.
The thing is, I think that does make you a racist. If striking somebody makes you an abuser, saying the N-word makes you a racist. Like, how can it not make you a racist? Are there very fine people on both sides? Like, what are you talking about?
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
You see what he's doing right now, guys? This is called spin and gaslighting. He should teach a class. I love this. I love this about you, Justin. We can agree to disagree. I'm not sticking up for the guy. Trust me, I'm not at all. I just asked a question. I wanted to get the conversation flowing and be polar opposites.
Well, you haven't even answered your question. Like, how does saying the N-word not make you a racist? The same way somebody hitting somebody makes them an abuser. How does it not work the same way?
I didn't say that it doesn't make him a racist. I said, like, is he a racist forever? Because he did that.
Is somebody an abuser forever because they decided to hit somebody?
That's where I keep coming back to this level shit, man.
But you're not giving any levels, though. Saying levels without further expanding your argument is not doing anything.
Yes. So let me ask you then, right? Is Chris Brown forever a woman beater because he beat the fuck out of Rihanna just once that we know of?
Yes. It was okay. A mistake that he'll live with for the rest of his life. The same way someone saying the N-word and them being held accountable for it, that's something that they're going to have to live with for the rest of their life. They can do better and be better, but they still committed the act. If I murder somebody just because I'm doing better, does that make me not a murderer?
Murder and saying the N-word is not the same thing.
I know. That's why it's called an analogy or a comparison. You doing something to somebody else, that thing that you did to them doesn't go away just because you're on the good road and you're doing good deeds. You still did it.
That's what you're not seeing about me saying this level shit. Like you just said about a murderer, right? Like if you murder somebody, you are forever a murderer. If you rape somebody, you're forever a rapist. Saying verbal words once that we know of. And listen, I'm not defending the guy. I can't stress that enough to you and to the listeners. I'm not defending the guy. But saying a word once that you got caught saying it once, does that forever make you a racist? That's what I'm trying to get to here.
Somebody can learn from their mistakes, but they were still racist at one point. They might decide to do better and be better, but they still said what they said.
I said what I said.
Okay, well, what you said was some bullshit.
But you don't like it, you don't like it.
I think that you can reform that type of thing, for sure. There's a story about the black officer who used to work in the FBI or CIA, I can't remember. He collects the robes of all the Klansmen that he got to stop being in the Klan, and he's friends with these people. I believe in reform for that, for sure.
Your argument is not really making sense. Yes, you're still a racist, but you change. You're no longer, you know, exhibiting those behaviors.
So you're racist for... Okay. All right. Just wanted to know. Please, guys, let us know what you think about this.
Look at him running away from the conversation.
I'm not running at all. I agree to disagree with you.
But what are you disagreeing? Like, how does that not make you a racist forever? It seems like you want to forgive somebody and absolve them for what they did, but they still did it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I believe you can be held accountable for things, but I don't think that one mistake that you make defines who you are the rest of your life.
But it's still something that you did. It defines it if you never do the work to change.
But define you the rest of your life?
Yes, if you never do the work to change, then it defines you.
You're making two different arguments and you're trying to make it sound like I'm not making a strong argument. If somebody does the work to change, then they are doing the right thing. You shouldn't be able to say, hey, you did something. Now you are labeled as this the rest of your life. No matter how much you've done to change and right that wrong and educate other people, you're still this person. I don't think that's fair. I don't think you should be able to be labeled as something the rest of your life for one mistake that you made.
Well, that's interesting because with Chris Brown, you always label him as an abuser. He did that one time. You continue to call him a woman beater and all this. You're using that one moment to taint his reputation forever. I don't think that's fair.
Like I said, levels to this shit.
But what are the levels?
No. Putting your hands on a woman versus saying something verbal, completely different things. We're talking about a physical act. No, it's not.
It's the same thing because those words hurt.
No, it's not.
There might not be physical damage from saying the N-word to somebody, but those words still hurt the black community. Do you know the power of the N-word? That's a word that's been hurled at people for years to degrade black people. That's painful. It's not physical pain, but that emotional pain and trauma is still pain. It's different, I get that, but it works the same way.
It is different. Of course I know what the impact that word has. Of course I do. I'm a black man, I've been called it. So I get it. I'm saying there's differences in these two acts is what I'm saying.
Somebody can change. I'm not saying that they can't change, but that doesn't negate the fact that they still did those things in the past. Your legacy...
What it seems like you're doing...
But your legacy is everything that you did in your life, both good and bad. When people remember who you are, they remember everything. When Kobe passed away, what did they start bringing up? His rape allegations, because guess what? It's part of his legacy. Michael Jackson, when he passed away, what did they bring up? The child molestation allegations, because guess what? That's part of his legacy. That's what people do. People can grow and change beyond what they were accused of in the past, but at the end of the day, people are going to remember all of what somebody is, not just the good parts.
How often... does that happen? How often do people get eulogized when they die? And no matter if they were a piece of shit person, they talk about the good. Maybe in that, like you said about Kobe and Michael Jackson, right? Maybe in that moment people bring it up. But you think 5 years from now on the anniversary of Kobe's death, people are going to talk about that rape allegation?
Not every single time, but that's never going to go away. It's still on Kobe's Wikipedia page. It's a part of his life. It's still up for people to debate and speculate. And that's their fault for being in certain situations. And if you're going to say the N-word, of course you can change. You can know better and be better. But the fact is, you still said that. The same way somebody murdered somebody. The same way somebody abused somebody. You still did those things.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. So the argument that you were making before we got onto this, when you brought up Chris Brown, right? And you said, well, you always paint him as this, blah, blah, blah. That's the same thing you're doing to this dude then, right? You're saying if you're saying that Chris Brown's always going to be a woman beater, right? You're saying that this guy's always going to be a racist, right?
I sure am, because what change has Morgan Wallen showed you? He hasn't shown me any change. Up to this point is somebody that's a racist.
No, you're taking it somewhere I don't want to go. I don't care about his legacy or whatever. He's not showing me shit. I don't give a fuck about the guy. I was just asking, is this what we're equating it to? And you said, yeah, and that's fine, because I'm not standing up for this guy. What I will say, the last thing I'll say about this topic that we're talking about and this debate that we're having is, at a certain point, I'm a person that believes in redemption and believes that you can work towards changing and being a better person, because I've done it in my own life. So That's all I was getting at with this. So I'd be really interested to hear what you guys have to say about it.
I'm not disagreeing that you can be redeemed, but up until this point, what redemption has he shown us beside a written apology? That's not good enough for me. If somebody's willing to apologize for the N-word, fine. You're going to get forgiveness from me when you show years of dedication of being the opposite of what you were painted to be. That's how I'll change my opinion and say that you've changed. That doesn't negate the fact that you still said it, but forgiveness for me and reconciliation comes with you acknowledging the wrong and working to be better. Not going on Red Table Talk with Jada and saying that you have a new mindset.
I'm not trying to victimize myself. I don't want pity. I don't deserve pity. We messed up. I just want a second chance to be like, I recognize I messed up. Right. And for so long, I wasn't able to talk about this because of the legalities behind it. I never got to say, I'm really sorry that this happened, or I really own that this was a big mess up on everybody's part.
Not making a video or doing a duet with another black artist at an award show. Show that you're a changed person. Building your legacy, rebranding yourself, and showing that change. That's the only way that you'll gain forgiveness from me.
You're going to be mad as hell when he at the BET Awards next year.
Because you're laughing because he's going to be there.
You're going to be mad as hell. I can't wait for that episode.
It's going to happen. He's laughing, y'all, because it's going to happen. They're going to give him a plate, invite him into the BET Awards, and have him do a duet with Roddy Ricch or some other black artist and say, look, he's changed. He's no longer racist. And of course, because I always say a lot of black people are easily impressed, they'll be clapping, yes, yes, yes. Look, he did that. Racism is over. Hate to see it, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. But, you know, back to the original topic we were talking about, you know, there's a lot of other country artists were calling him out. There's actually this black female country singer. Her name's Mickey Guyton, and she has a song called Black Like Me. I suggest you check it out. It's actually really good. And she was talking about the people who have helped her out in the industry, and she was tagging them all in tweets. But then she like went in on Morgan Wallen.
In response to Wallen's recent actions, country artists like Mickey Guyton have taken to social media to call the singer out. Mickey tweeted asking, how many passes will you continue to give? Adding, no one deserves to be canceled, but this is unacceptable. Maren Morris also tweeting in part, we all know it wasn't his first time using that word. We keep them rich and protected at all costs with no recourse.
And another country singer, Luke Combs, who put out some song about like unity and we're a nation divided right now, and then other country, like other verified on Twitter country singers, for whatever that means, were dragging him. Then they put up pictures of him like with the Confederate flag and him flashing a white power symbol during a televised event and everything. So I guess we're going to keep an eye on Nashville right now, guys, and see what's coming out.
Country music is in shambles, y'all. Who would have thought I'd be interested to see what's going to happen with that. Accountability is something that we shouldn't run from. Embrace it. Own up to your mistakes. If I make a mistake and y'all know about it, I'll own up to it as best I can. It is what it is. If we want to be forgiven for the mistakes that we made, we have to show that we're contrite, and we have to build a path towards continuing to do good things, not just apologizing and moving on like it didn't happen, because there's no growth there.
Well said. Let's move on to the next topic, because we spent 26 minutes on these people.
I know. What's the next topic?
As you all are aware, Sunday, there was the Super Bowl.
From a small local venue in Toronto to the world stage, I'm continuing this journey with my fans, taking them into the next chapter of our story. As your 55th Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show performer.
Justin's fave The Weeknd was the halftime performer. So let's talk about it, Justin. Give me your thoughts.
Well, y'all know I'm not the biggest Weeknd fan. I don't have an issue with him. He makes music that's just not for me, and that's okay. Do I recognize that he's talented? Of course. Does he have hits? Of course. Did I think that he was the right pick for the Super Bowl before he even performed? No, I didn't. I think The Weeknd makes like emo type music that's not really fit for the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is about entertainment. It's about dancing. It's about electricity. It's about getting people excited. It's about building a legacy. Come on, baby, it's you. When I need you, baby, everything sucks.
Superdome. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's get. Because believe it or not,
Being asked to perform at the Super Bowl is the biggest highlight of any artist's career. Usually only legends get asked to perform. I went into it with an open mind because I knew that I was going to talk about it on the show, but I just wanted to give him a chance. I had a set of expectations for his performance, and he delivered exactly what I thought he would deliver. An inspired performance. I loved the lights. You know, I liked the set. That was cool.
Sheree, what'd you think of the performance?
I thought they did good together. I thought it was fun. I liked the beat.
But the performance itself, it was lacking. And I think that a lot of people might say, Justin, you're a hater, but I don't think being honest is being a hater. I don't have anything against him. I don't have a reason to just bash him for no reason. I don't have a reason to do that, but I'm just going to be honest because this is my opinion and we're all free, you know, to share our opinions on here. I didn't like the performance. I think that it left something to be desired. On social media, I saw that a lot of his fans love it. Generally, I feel like most people are mixed on the performance. They think it's okay. And Super Bowl performances should never be just okay. Those are my initial thoughts. I'll let you go. What did you think?
So I only watched it because I knew we were going to talk about it. So like, this podcast is kind of like our job. So I have to do my work for mm-hmm. the podcast.
His homework.
Basically, listen, anybody who knows me knows I love The Weeknd. Like, when we start talking about my favorite artist of all time, like, it wouldn't take long before I got to The Weeknd. But that's his old stuff, right? Like, I think I didn't like this last album. He's actually been letting me down as of recently, except for My Dear Melancholy. That was dope before he dropped the album. But anyway, it's a shame watching that is how I felt, right? I've seen him in concert twice. The Weeknd gives an amazing concert. And I thought the visuals of everything was really great.
Right, same.
I don't think that somebody that's a great singer, like I'm not debating with anybody. The Weeknd is an amazing singer. But I don't think that somebody who is an amazing singer is set up to succeed under those circumstances because they're doing this running around. They're trying to entertain. So there's at times he sounded like he was trying to catch his breath and trying to still perform and everything. And also the songs, the set list. Wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to bring out some more. I mean, like, the trilogy is really depressing. That's probably why I love it, because, you know, I'm a weirdo. But like, you could have brought out some like trilogy era Weeknd music. Or I thought the best thing that I heard from him all night is when he did Earned It. But like you said, there's a lot of mixed reaction to it right now. There's people out there saying, hey, that's up there in the pantheon of Super Bowl performances with Prince. And there's other people like Justin who are like, yeah, nah, I'm good on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was better than Justin Timberlake's performance. I think
Agreed.
It was better than the Red Hot Chili Peppers performance.
Agreed.
I don't think it was anywhere near Bruno's. Like I said to Justin jokingly in a text this week, I was like, yo, just let Bruno do it every year for all I care at this point. Like, mm-hmm. fuck it. It was great. Like, Bruno and Beyonce, those are two that stick off the top of my head in the past, like, I don't know, 6-7 years I thought were great. Like, do I think this was better than Shakira and J-Lo? Maybe, because I like The Weeknd, but I don't know.
I don't think it was better than Shakira and J-Lo's. They embodied the essence of what a Super Bowl performance is supposed to be. You can not like their music, you can not like them, but you have to admit that that was a fantastic performance. They included all elements of what a Super Bowl halftime show is supposed to be, and they did the thing. Because y'all know how I feel about J-Lo. I'm not even going to get into that. But, you know, they delivered. They delivered. The Weeknd did not deliver. And we have to be honest as well. The Weeknd is not a performer. He's a vocalist. When you're doing the Super Bowl, you need somebody that's going to entertain the masses. And I think that one thing I don't like about him, I feel like he was very overconfident and cocky about this performance. It was hype that he spent $7 million. So people were expecting to see, okay, where's the $7 million? And I heard crickets. Literally, I heard crickets. I'm like, where's the $7 million? And also, I found it interesting that he leaked that because that was leaked. Other artists also put their own money into their halftime show. So that's not a surprise to me. So I was expecting something great. And it was lacking. It really was. There were some elements of it that were great. I love when he did House of Balloons and transitioned into Blinding Lights. Personally, for me, I thought that was the best part. When the dancers are in formation, shaking, giving me Thriller vibes. I was like, this is what I wanted. I was yelling at the TV. This is what I wanted. Dancing. But then when it came to what The Weeknd was actually doing, he was just standing in the middle of the field like a scarecrow. I was like, what's going on? I was like, I didn't know if I was watching a halftime show or a scene from the movie Us. I was like, what's going on?
Oh my God. That's what those people with the band just look like. They look like the people from Us. That's mm-hmm. exactly what they look like. But here's where I gotta give some pushback to you and where I disagree. Also, shout out to you talking about the House of Balloons transition air, because only real Weeknd fans know about that. I'm gonna go on a tangent here, Justin. I apologize.
It's okay.
To me, it's sad that there are some people out there who only know Weeknd from I Can't Feel My Face era on up, that have no idea about the trilogy and have no idea about Kissland. If you're one of those people, I'm not judging you, right? Like, I put one of my friends on the House of Balloons last night. But do yourself a favor and go listen to House of Balloons Thursday and Echoes of Silence, because I spent all day today in preparation for this podcast, and I knew I was going to be put in the corner to have to defend The Weeknd mm-hmm. listening to the trilogy. And I'm telling you, House of Balloons is some of the finest work I've ever listened to. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to take y'all on a 10-week journey, and I'm going to give you 10 of my favorite albums, one a week. But ooh. Back to The Weeknd. Yeah, off the top of the dome. But back to The Weeknd. It was fine. I think it's it's interesting, right? It's kind of like, I don't know, like, you know how, like, when you just grow apart from people? That's kind of how I feel with The Weeknd. Like, I loved this man's music at one point in my life. It got me through some shit. Like, it was there. Like, loved it. And I was like, hey, man, like, because of what how I felt about his music in the past, like, I'll always give it a chance. He's earned that for me. Y'all catch that pun there? Earned it?
This girl, you earned it.
I was about to break out in the song. I ain't gonna do it to y'all.
Yay.
So I don't know. It was fine. Let's talk about the larger picture here, right?
Uh-huh.
Justin thinks that having the Super Bowl halftime performance is a legacy flex and an award of, hey, you've been killing the game for decades, I assume is what your criteria is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and mm-hmm. that it's only given to people that, you know, have a certain stature. And here's the flip side of it. Maybe a halftime performance could be a king-making or a queen-making thing where it's like, hey, we see this person is up on the rise. We're going to hop on this now, and this could be the thing that solidifies them and cements them and straps the rocket ship to their back and puts them in the stratosphere. Maybe that's how some people look at it, because like you said, you thought Bruno got it too early. You think The Weeknd got it too early.
Not necessarily.
And then one more thing before you respond. I'm going to give you a lot to respond to. One more thing. You said that it's about entertainment, and you don't think it's a singer's type of performance. It's about entertaining. There's no doubt in my mind that they could give that to, they could give Mariah Carey or Adele a halftime show and it would still be good. That's just my opinion. But I will let you respond.
Well, lots to respond to. First of all, I do think that when somebody is asked to do the halftime show, it's supposed to be the pinnacle of their career. These people are supposed to put in work in the music industry, build a legacy, and earn a chance to perform for over 100 million people at the Super Bowl, the largest stage of them all. That would be the highlight of anybody's career. Do I think The Weeknd got it too early? Yeah, somewhat early, but I think that had he not released Blinding Lights, they would have never asked him to do the Super Bowl. That was such an undeniable hit, and he's also been having such an incredible year that they thought that this is perfect timing. He has some hits, he has some gravitas to him, so they thought that he'd be the perfect contemporary choice to headline a halftime show. So I see the thought process with The Weeknd, but overall, like, when you look at him perform, that's not a halftime show. To prep for this episode, I watched his Coachella performance, and I was not impressed. He was just standing there. I get it. He's a vocalist. He's not a dancer. I get it. But we should be seeing dancing. We should be seeing entertainment for a halftime show. We should be seeing fireworks, and we didn't get that. With males, the bar is so low when it comes to our expectations. A guy can just wear the same outfit for the entire performance. They can just stand there and people heap praise on it. If it's a woman, they expect several costume changes, several set design changes, and the expectation level is a lot more for women than it is for men. And that's just in general in life. And I think that that's unfair. If a woman was just doing a halftime show the way The Weeknd did it, people would say it's boring, that it's lacking, that that person's not fit for a halftime show. So with The Weeknd, I'm just going to be honest. I don't think that that was a great performance. Was it good? I think it was good for him. I think that with this Super Bowl halftime show, this is the peak of The Weeknd's career and anything after this is all downhill. And that's not a bad thing, it's just the truth. I'm looking at the grand scheme of this guy's career, and this is the pinnacle of his career. He will never have a peak this high in his career again, so he should be happy and proud of this moment. He earned it, he earned it, yeah, he earned it. So good for him on that. Adele or Mariah Carey doing a halftime show, I don't think that they fit for a halftime show. Because I was talking to my friend about this idea of being overrated or overhyped. And I think Adele, I love her. Don't get me wrong. I love her.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Hold on. Baby dump trucks are warming up. I hear it.
Let them charge. What is this guy about to say? Adele is not overrated, but I do think that she's overhyped. We understand that she's a great vocalist and she makes songs that put us in our feelings and we love her. She sells a lot. But the amount of acclaim that she gets can be too much sometimes, to where anybody that has something to say about her, they demonize, they get the baby dump trucks out about to charge them and use them. Like, come on, it can be a lot. I would say the same about Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean is great. I don't think he's overrated, but I do think that he's overhyped. He's somebody that people laud all this attention and praise on, and sometimes it's unwarranted because it's like, how much have you really done? He's released 2 albums and people are like, oh my God, amazing. Like, oh, and I get it because I do think he's amazing, but sometimes I feel like those two get too much praise, and those are the examples that come into my mind at this moment.
So who don't get enough praise then?
I would have to do some research. I can't think of any at the top of my head. You said too much praise or not enough praise?
Not enough, because you out here slandering Adele and Frank Ocean. So let's hear who needs that. Who needs some of their shine then?
I think Janelle Monáe doesn't get enough praise. I think her doesn't get enough praise.
I'm here for that. Her is the best artist on the planet.
I think Miguel doesn't get enough praise.
Big facts. Here you go, Justin. Now you brought me back to your side now.
Exactly. To your side. That's what I'm trying to say.
Miguel does not get enough praise.
Are just as great, but they don't get the same amount of acclaim as an Adele or a Frank Ocean. And it can be unfair.
Here's a difference. I think there's a big difference between Adele and Frank Ocean, though. Like, she has 2 Grammys for Album of the Year. Like, she's earned it. Adele is the shit. Period, point blank. Frank Ocean, he gave you Channel Orange. Classic. Classic, classic, classic. Blonde. There's people out there who would fight me over saying this, but like, I didn't think Blonde was great. So I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on it. So let me ask you then, since you are in the camp of believing it's a legacy award and it's a career maker, who do you think are some people that could be halftime performers coming up here? Give me like 3 or 4 or 5.
I have 6 or 7 that I wrote down. I think Drake has enough hits. I think he has enough relevancy. I think he has enough commercial appeal to definitely do a halftime show. I think he's more than qualified in that regard. Drake, easy decision. Rihanna, I also feel the same way. Now with Rihanna, she's not the greatest performer, but her catalog alone is more than worthy of a halftime show. So many people have been clamoring for her to perform, and I'm with that. Another one I wrote down is Taylor Swift. Y'all know I'm not the biggest fan of Taylor Swift, but she meets the criteria to do a halftime show.
We love to hear it. She would crush a halftime show.
Another one is Pink. Y'all might not like her music, but I think that Pink has met the threshold to do a halftime show. Her ability to do the trapeze stuff up in the air, she has the hits, she has the longevity to warrant a Super Bowl performance. Green Day. I think that Green Day has enough hits. I think that if they can release like one more like relevant album in 2021, they could definitely headline a Super Bowl. And it'd be something different because it's not the pop that we're used to seeing. It's somebody that's more rock that still has, you know, commercial appeal. I think Green Day can definitely kill, you know, a halftime show. Ariana. I think in 4 or 5 years, Ariana definitely will be a headliner for the Super Bowl. Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber is somebody that I too think in a couple years can headline the Super Bowl. He meets it. And lastly, Chris Brown. Chris Brown, had he not hit Rihanna, would be doing a Super Bowl. Had he not had that incident with Rihanna when he hit her, he has the talent, the dancing ability, the hits. He has more than enough capability to do the halftime show.
The hits. He has the hits.
He does.
Okay, hold on. Before we get into that, let me give you the people who I thought of that I think can do it. And then we're going to talk about this hit shit that you're talking about, this blasphemy. So, of course, Taylor Swift was number one. I think for sure she could do it. I think I could see Mariah Carey doing it, like I mentioned earlier. I like your Green Day one. I would say I could totally see them giving Fallout Boy one. I think Gwen Stefani could do it because of her hits by herself and her stuff with No Doubt. She has commercial appeal. Those are just the ones off the top of my head. That Green Day one is really good. Like, I could totally see that happen. I actually would, and I would like to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just the ones I could think of off the top of my head. So those are what I'll say. And Drake, yeah, I don't know why he hasn't done it yet, to be honest with you. But anyway, you're talking about hits, right? So just to give y'all some behind the scenes here, Justin and I had like a 3-hour conversation last week after we recorded about hits and forever songs and what makes somebody a legend and all that stuff. And no, Chris Brown does not have a forever song. Like, forever song is a song that would be played in any function with any race of people at like a barbecue, a cookout, a wedding reception, things like that. Let me just give y'all a couple examples, right? Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, it's a forever song. It'll be played at weddings forever. Ed Sheeran has 2 forever songs. They'll be played at weddings and shit like that forever. John Legend has 2 of them. Adele has like 3 or 4 of them. What's Chris Brown's forever song? What is going to be played forever?
I don't think he really has. I'd be stretching to say Kiss Kiss is a forever song. It's a song that everybody enjoys. I really do think that that incident with Rihanna happened at the worst time for Chris Brown's career because he was so young. He's only 30 or 31 years old, and that happened in 2009. He was 18, I believe. So that happened at the worst time for, because he's just getting into his stride. I promise, had he been able to get through that situation and not have that incident occur, he would have had the hits to possibly have a forever song like you're talking about. But unfortunately, I don't think that he really has one. He would put on a better show than The Weeknd, I know that for sure.
A lot of agreeing to disagree on this show. So let's talk about it then, right? Who are some people that you think have those forever songs in that are what we would consider a legend?
Out of like the list I just mentioned?
Sure, yeah. We could take it there. Let's do that then.
I think Green Day is legendary.
Yeah, they have a bunch of forever songs.
I think Taylor Swift.
What goes without saying.
But I think that she is legendary. What she did in country and what she did with crossing over to pop, her ability to songwrite, her ability to have big hits, her ability to sell out stadiums, not arenas, stadiums 3 times over. I think that she's a legend. Drake, I think, is a legend. Rihanna, I don't know. I think she's an icon. I don't think she's a legend. What does she do that's great?
Be a bad bitch, I guess.
I heard crickets. Yeah, that's not really. I think she's an icon, but I think that we can make the case for her being a legend. It's hard for me to just say that she's a legend. I know Rihanna stans or listening are like, she's a legend, she's a legend. My criteria detector is not dinging when it comes to Rihanna. Who else? Pink, I would say, is a legend.
What's her forever song?
So What? Get This Party Started. Oh, Just Give Me a Reason. I think that she has like 3 right there.
Okay.
But yeah, right. I think that those are my choices for the halftime show. It's something that people really have to build to. People are so afraid to just be honest because The Weeknd's fans, they'll attack you. They've attacked me before. I remember when I posted something on the Polar Opposites Instagram, a Weeknd stan that stalks the hashtag for hashtag The Weeknd saw that I did a hashtag of The Weeknd and came into my comments and said,
"You're a hater. You're jealous. You are fake and whatever." And I'm like, "You're crazy. You're literally crazy stalking hashtags to find out who's saying bad things about The Weeknd. Get a life." That really had me shook because I'm like, people are stalking hashtags to see somebody talking bad about The Weeknd. And when I talk bad about somebody, it's not to be nasty in any way. I'm just being honest and critical in the most respectful way possible. I made sure to give The Weeknd his props, but at the same time, we made note of his limitations. He's not a performer, at least for the halftime show. What he did at the Super Bowl would be fine for the VMAs. It would be fine for the AMAs. But when we're talking halftime shows, you have to deliver, and he did not deliver, in my opinion.
Get it off your chest. I thought we didn't have nothing to get off our chest this week, but damn. All right, get it off your chest.
Justin.
Get out your pair cloth.
Dante.
Get out your pair cloth.
Everybody.
Get out your pair cloth. Dab it off your head to breathe.
Get out your pair cloth, darling.
I take this seriously because the broader part of our discussion on this episode is the state of the music industry. I feel like we're running out of legends or people that are up and coming that are going to make a name for themselves in the future. And it's sad, the state of music. You can easily see that The Weeknd was inspired by Michael Jackson. You can see that Beyonce was inspired by Michael Jackson. So many of our current icons of today were inspired by the legends of the past, whether that be Prince, Madonna. Lady Gaga was heavily inspired by Madonna. Who are the next legends that are coming up? I feel like we don't have any, especially when it comes to males.
Yeah. I mean, if you look outside of The Weeknd and Bruno, you know, what's there?
Wait, did you say The Weeknd?
Yeah, man, he's a legend, man.
He's not a legend.
He has his forever songs. He has his Super Bowl. He's a legend.
We talked about this. Yep. We said that just because you have a forever song, that doesn't make you a legend. The Weeknd hasn't done anything legendary.
He did the Super Bowl. You just said that's legend, right? You got to be a legend to get a Super Bowl. You said that. Y'all need to rewind this back.
Asked to do the Super Bowl, but I said that they made the wrong choice in selecting him. Don't try and twist my words because I said what I said.
He's a legend. He's done a Super Bowl.
If The Weeknd is a legend, then Post Malone is a legend because Post Malone is the white version of The Weeknd.
Yo, get the fuck out of here, Justin.
No, I'm being serious right now. Yes, Post Malone is the white version of The Weeknd. They have just as many hits.
We're going to lose. Stop it. What?
I'm being serious.
What?
You don't want to admit it to yourself.
No, you're reaching.
I'm not.
So we talk about accountability on this podcast, and we're good enough friends that I could tell you when you're reaching. You're reaching right now. Like, Post Malone. I can't even finish that sentence, man. We're going to lose listeners over this. If we can get
a
Super Bowl,
then Post Malone should be the next headliner if we're going to use the logic of the NFL and Pepsi.
All right.
The way they're picking halftime shows now, go ahead and put Post Malone up there.
Nobody's going to care that man lived 5 years from now. The Weeknd is forever.
I don't know. The way he's moving, I don't know. He might get a Super Bowl in the next couple years the way he's moving. By the time he's 30, he might have a Super Bowl the way they're just picking halftime performers.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have anything to say to that. You'll hear it and you'll be like, oh man, this is dope. Then 2 years later, you're like, they're on the radio and you're like, everybody knows about them. That's how it was when I got into The Weeknd. There wasn't nobody fucking with The Weeknd. And I'm sitting there beating my for him like, yo, this guy is the shit. And then now everybody's like, I can't feel my face or Blinding Lights. And it's like, nah, man, that's not The Weeknd, bruh.
It is The Weeknd.
Or like, I mean, that's him now, right? But like, Anderson .Paak too, same thing with him. Like, I was listening to him like, yo, y'all gotta hear about this guy. And you know, I think it's weird how you feel. Have you ever gone through that where you feel possessive of an artist because you knew about them and were a fan of them before they ever made it big, and you're like, yeah, like, that's my guy. And now everybody else likes him, you're like, yo.
It goes into that entitlement that a lot of people feel when it comes to certain artists. They want them to stay underground forever. They want them only to themselves. But artists want to blow up. Artists want to eat and make money and be successful, and you wanting them to be a certain way is unfair. Because like we always say, people are allowed to grow and people are allowed to change. So I think as fans, we should also allow our faves to grow, change, expand. And I think with The Weeknd, that's a perfect example because people love his older work. But my opinion is that, you know, he's still the same artist. He's just making a different genre of music. He's appealing to more people now. And I think that that's okay. I don't think that makes him any less of an artist because there's people that are still enjoying his music. Let people grow. Let people change and expand their horizons because that's what they want to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just still flabbergasted by the slander that you talked about with Post Malone in The Weeknd. So, you know, all right.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that Post Malone is the white version of The Weeknd? Because I think that he is. I feel like the listeners are like, yeah, now that I think about it, yes. I can see Cressida and Natalie and Florida and all these people listening. They're like, yeah, Justin's onto something. Justin is right. I'm like, I told y'all. It's okay.
I truly believe, honestly, as we're sitting here recording this live right now, that when this episode comes back and people give us feedback on it, they're going to be like, I think this is going to be one of those episodes where people like overwhelmingly agree with me. Oh, man. Oh, my God.
That's rare. Who do you guys tend to agree with more when y'all listen to these episodes? Who do y'all agree with more? Because we did a poll recently asking, I don't know what we were asking, but somebody gave a great answer and they said that Dante responds based on emotion and I respond on practicality. And I agree with that. I feel like Dante, his emotions get him worked up and the emotions are attached to whatever he's talking about. But for me, I'm devoid of emotions. I don't care. Whatever I think is the truth, I'll just say it.
He trying to sound like a hipster. I don't have emotions. I don't feel nothing.
No, you sound like a hipster. saying, I know all of this music and other people are just catching the wave. Let them catch the wave. Let people get exposed to new music. It doesn't make you a bigger fan just because you found them earlier.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting to see the rise of somebody when you saw them when they first started and to see them now when they have, like, this global attention as opposed to when you see them in concert with, I don't know, 200 seats and now he's performing at halftime. It's cool. Interesting. I love the progress. You want to run down some quick news notes, some stupid shit?
Yeah, so a lot of people are stupid. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. A lot of people are really dumb. So I don't know if you saw this. There's this black woman that I don't know what she was looking for. She was looking for cream or something for her hair to slick down her ponytail. For whatever reason, she couldn't find whatever hair product she was looking for. I think it was like hair glue. She couldn't find hair glue. So she's like, you know what? Let me use Gorilla Glue. That seems like the next best thing. So she gets Gorilla Glue, rubs it together, and smears it and slicks back her ponytail or whatever hairstyle that she has. And then she said for a month, her hair has not moved.
I washed my hair 15 times and it don't move.
What have you used to try to get it out?
We did the baby oil. We did cooking oil. Olive oil.
She also tried washing it out with shampoo. Nothing got rid of the glue. So Tessica posted this video on TikTok, hoping for advice. Instead, she was ridiculed.
First of all, why would you do that? And then second of all, why are you recording yourself doing that? And the world is seeing how dumb you are. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know if you saw this story and people started a GoFundMe for her.
I did. It's insane. It's ridiculous. Why would you do that to yourself, baby? Like I say all the time, right? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. She played a very stupid game. And other fuck news about stupid people, since that's the train we on right now, stupid people. Some of y'all's fave rapper, Lil Uzi Vert, got a $24 million diamond implanted in his forehead. So here's some things about that, right? That guy doesn't have $24 million. So he's stupid for doing that, but whoever financed that, the company that gave him the loan to get a $24 million diamond implanted in his forehead, please email, DM Justin or myself, because we have a way better business plan than whatever the fuck you just did with that $24 million mm-hmm. there. Especially in the times we are now financially, in the middle of a pandemic and people don't have enough food to put on the table. You want to go get a diamond implanted in your forehead? I hope he has top-notch security, because somebody will grip his little ass up and rip that out his fucking skull.
I think that's stupid. I think that a lot of these celebrities, when all of your basic needs are taken care of to the point where money doesn't even matter anymore, I think that's when people do stupid stuff like this. And I'm not saying every wealthy person is a stupid decision maker like Lil Uzi Vert. I just don't get it. And this is why there's always calls to tax the rich, because these people have so much money. I feel like if you're really that wealthy, what is more taxes to you? It's nothing, especially when there's people that are suffering. But it's like, whenever you're like a billionaire, come on, at that point, do you really need all of that money? And there's this thing called, I think, the giving pledge, where billionaires pledge to give, I think, at least half of their wealth up by the time they pass away. For the people that are not signing that, what are you keeping all of that money for? You're hoarding wealth for what? If I was in that position, I feel like if I have so much money to take care of my future generation, the least I can do is do something great for somebody else or society, you know, as a whole. That's just me, though. And not everybody thinks like that.
Bury me with my shit like Scrooge McDuck. Fuck out of here talking about that. So, no, I'm kidding. I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, I'm not rich and I try to support things that I believe in financially. So, you know, it is what it is. Maybe to become a billionaire, you have to be like super shrewd to reach a certain level of success. I believe you truly have to be like a psychopath and a sociopath. Like Michael Jordan is not a normal person. Tom Brady is not a normal person. I truly believe there has to be something a little off about you to reach a certain level of greatness.
Y'all read the book Outliers, The Story of Success by Malcolm Gladwell. I promise you, your perception of success and all of the top celebrities will shift. I promise you that. So much of success is being at the right place at the right time, being born in a certain era, being extremely gifted in some way, harnessing those talents and being successful in that way. That's a lot of what success is, at least the people that we see. Serena had her father not instilled that my daughters are going to be great tennis players, if Serena wasn't naturally gifted with the abilities that she had, she wouldn't be where she is. It's not all about hard work. It's also about luck and just being at the right place at the right time. It goes with anything. Football players, tennis players, athletes. If you can just harness your abilities, that's why I always preach that with African parents, there's this preconceived notion that the only way to be successful is if you're a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. Those are the only methods of success. I understand why they think like that, but so many of us Nigerians are gifted in extreme ways, and if we were given the support, we would be performing at the Super Bowl. We would be doing other things. But because a lot of us don't get to see our dreams come true, we have to sacrifice that in order to appease our parents. And I think that it's unfair.
Give yourself a round of applause for that. To into other stupid shit of the week. I saw on Twitter, some lady was trying to flex and she was like, my car payment is $750 a month and yours is $200. We are not the same. Who the fuck flexes about paying more money in bills? You're a fucking idiot.
It's actually a bad thing.
Yeah, a car is not an asset. It depreciates value every single day. But we're not going to get into a finance talk. But yeah, she's a fucking idiot. What else you got, Justin?
You know, the Super Bowl is a big event. A lot of people pay attention to the commercials. But a quick note on commercials. I feel like, I don't know if it's me just getting older, but I'm noticing that they debut the Super Bowl commercials ahead of the Super Bowl. So we're not actually seeing it for the first time when it airs during the telecast. I'm noticing that. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, for some of them, for sure.
I miss back in the day when you would see the commercials for the first time, so it made it more of an event. But this year, I wasn't really paying attention to the commercials, but one really caught my attention, and it was the Shaggy commercial where I think it was Doritos. No, it wasn't Doritos. It was Cheetos, right? Yeah, Cheetos. It wasn't me. Loved it. I thought it was genius.
Just tell him it wasn't you.
But I caught you at the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw you snacking on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
You even had him in the shower.
It wasn't me.
I even caught you on camera.
Loved it.
That was a great commercial. That was my favorite one. That's the only one I really remember. So yeah, we're on the same page with that. That was such a good one. Such a good commercial. Shaggy's probably got a lot of play on Spotify and Apple Music today and yesterday.
Right.
Because think about it. There's kids watching a Super Bowl that heard that for the first time yesterday.
Don't remind me of how we're getting older. I don't like that.
I'm out here aging like wine. I don't care.
Me too. Fine wine at that. Fine wine. We talked about a lot in this episode. Who would y'all like to see perform at the Super Bowl? Do you agree with our takes? Do you agree with our opinions about forgiveness? Do you agree with our opinions about Post Malone and The Weeknd? A lot of spicy stuff on this episode, I will say. But Saturday and Sunday did a good job. I mean, The Weeknd, sorry, I forget his name sometimes. He did a really good job for him. He killed it for his fans. They loved it. General audiences, not so much, but who cares? You know, people like me are going to talk. That's what people do. But the important thing is that we all have an opinion. We're all entitled to it. And we can agree and disagree like me and Dante did on this week's episode, right?
This is what happens when you let a Beyonce stan talk about somebody else doing the Super Bowl halftime show. But
well, he likes to call me a Beyonce stan, but I'm really not a stan of anyone. I think that she's the best artist of this generation and everybody agrees. I don't need to stan. It's just speaking facts.
Okay. Like I said earlier, right, guys? We don't even got to talk about it. Like I said earlier, guys, over these next 10 weeks, I'm going to give you an album a week of 10 of my favorite albums of all time that I just love that, you know, do something for me. I should preface this by telling you that, and me and Justin talked about this also, like when it comes to music, like, yeah, I'm a music snob. I like something that makes me feel something. That's why I don't listen to the radio and none of the pop shit on there. Like, that's why it's a lot of this music on the radio, whatever. It just doesn't move me. Like, I like stuff that makes me feel. I like people that have been through some shit because I've been through some shit. So I like stuff that makes me feel. First album I'll tell y'all go check out is Back to Black by Amy Winehouse. One of my favorite albums of all time, obviously, because it's on this 10-week countdown. Everybody knows the hits like Rehab and Tears Dry on Their Own. But let me give you two B-sides to go listen to. Wake Up Alone and Just Friends. Go check them out. Let me know what you think about it. I'm here to have Amy Winehouse conversation with you guys. So
Amy Winehouse. We love Amy Winehouse. Y'all respect, well, I was going to say respect your legends, but I don't think she's a legend. But anyway, I like this actually. Me and Dante were talking. He has a list of 10 albums that he loves. It's hard for me to like list all of my favorite albums and compile it into a list of 10 because I think music is music. So it's hard for me to categorize. I appreciate Dante for his ability to do that because I can't do that. So props to him. I love this because we'll week to week hear what Dante considers his top 10 favorite albums of all time. And then y'all will get to see if y'all have similar tastes to Dante. So interesting. I'll always remind you guys, continue to support the show, continue to subscribe, continue to share the show with a friend. As much as I appreciate everybody who already listens to the show, I would appreciate it even more if y'all shared it with somebody that you think could also love the show the same way you do. So share it, you know, subscribe, tell your meemaw, your peepaw, your wawas, and nanas to listen. Keep this podcast growing because we're just cranking out episodes for you guys. And as long as y'all continue to listen, we'll continue to produce for you guys. So I appreciate you guys.
And to follow up on that, I already told y'all, like, don't be shy when it comes to me. Like, I love interacting and engaging with you guys. So thank you to the people who reach out to me about the podcast. To all our listeners, new, old, indifferent, secret, public, whatever. Nah, seriously, because Justin has a serious beef with secret fans, guys. And like, one day we'll talk about it and get to the root of all of it. But that's besides the point. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Go listen to the episode. Download it. Subscribe. Unsubscribe, download it, listen to it again all the way through. Tell a friend to tell a friend about it. But that's it for Polar Opposites. Thank you, guys.
New music by Bureaucratic. I hope you guys like it. Y'all have a good rest of your week. And as always, we will catch you guys on the next one.